comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful planet, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. If you haven't done so, you need to do so, and that is subscribe to the K-Files, our free weekly newsletter. It is, as I said, free, so there's really no reason to not subscribe, is there? There are no strings attached. It really is just free. And you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. It takes a few seconds to subscribe, you know, maybe 4, 5, 10 seconds, and then you're subscribed. And you, as I say, you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. Now, let me address an issue that comes up once in a while. I think that everyone knows that on the internet there are mice who roar like lions. I mean, there are people who, you know, they think that they can say anything they want to, any way they want to, and by God, that's just the way it is, and they're in your face and so forth. Well, I can take it. However, I don't make a habit of conversing with people with psychological problems if I know they have them. And the reason I'm telling you this is because if you send me an email, you know this, those of you who have been listening for a long time, you send me an email and you disagree with something I said, or you agree with something I said, or you see it a different way, that's cool. No problem. But if somebody sends me an email where they're talking about they're using words like stupid and idiot and blah, 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 and, you know, just in your face like Charlie did, two things happen. I will not address any of the issues they bring up. I will not waste my time reading their insults. Disagree? Yes. Be insulting and insane? I don't have time for that. We have institutions for people like that. And so, by the way, having said that, I'm going to get email from someone who's offended that I said that. But what happens, and so that Charlie, who I know is listening, will know, is their email gets put on the blocked list, and I never see it again. You can say anything you want to say. You're free to do it. I'm free to respond to it in any way I want to. And in order to get cogent and respectful replies from me, as most of you have experienced, just send a normal email. But if you send one that is just, you know, acidic and insulting, then you get put on the blocked list, and I never see any email from you again. So, Charlie, I hope you enjoyed it. You have the right to say what you want to say. You said it. You can keep sending email. I have a right not to see it, and I never will. We're going to be talking with Andrew Murray right after this. My guest this evening is Andrew Murray. Now, last week we had a show in which the guest presented information about why he thought the story of the Pickering brothers, Clay and Sean Pickering, was a hoax. And his name was Bryce Weiner, and he was part of a group that did the investigation on this. As soon as it became known that Bryce was going to be on the show, I started receiving emails from other members of the group and from some other people asking me not to have Bryce on. But I explained why I would not cancel Bryce. We had him on. Well, Andrew Murray is the person that all those emails said was the sort of head of this group. He sort of was the spear point. And he wanted to know if I would have at least have him on so that he could give their side of the story and the events. And I agreed to do that. And so, Andrew, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Well, thank you so much, Kevin.
Andrew, let's begin with some of the communications that you and I had, in which you had said that the group did not want Bryce, who was part of the group, to publish all of this stuff yet. But he felt that he had to do it. Let's start with that. Why didn't you want it published?
Well, basically because we didn't have permission to publish it. We were in the process of an investigation, about Source A, who was revealed as Richard Thielman, and, we had contacted him a number of times. And we decided that we were going to record subsequent conversations with him. But we wanted to, let him know that he was going to be on the record, because that's the right and ethical thing to do. However, the person who interviewed Richard did not put him on the record and did not make him aware. And that was pretty much, there was some debate about whether it was legal, one-party conversations and New York. But, there was no consensus. Bryce wanted to immediately put it out there. And, I can respect his opinion. But the group, made no such decision. And, so that's pretty much what happened there. Bryce released it, and, it kind of made us all look bad. And look, I like Bryce. Bryce is a friend of mine. I don't approve of what he did, but I'm not really here to, to bash him either.
So then the release of all of this information was... from the point of view of the rest of the group, premature.
Yes, very much so. The reason being is that, we had talked to him a couple times before, and we were, establishing rapport, phase of the investigation. Look, without him, there's not really a whole lot of information that we can get, that would take a long time. Military records. It would be better for Richard to tell his side of the story. And I actually talked to him myself last Thursday, and, I let him know that we weren't interested in, prosecuting him or uncovering every lie or he's wearing, medals that don't belong to him. None of that stuff is important. We want
okay, but you've implied now that he has lied, and you've implied now that he's wearing medals that don't belong to him. So do you have information? Do you have data to support that?
No, but that was floated by Michael Sala, and Richard, in the phone conversation, implied that he couldn't talk because of what Michael Sala had said and written in an article, which explained that Richard was going to lie to us and that his military records were going to be expunged. So there was speculation that, in fact, he was not military and was not entitled to those medals. I don't know that to be the case at all. I just wanted Richard to know that that was not the focus of the investigation. Our focus was going to be what his side of the story was, because for the whole time of these UN secret meeting releases, I mean, it's been fed through Clay and Sean Pickering. And I know that you've had them on the show, and I've talked to Clay myself a couple of times years ago when he still liked me. but we wanted to see, you know, if he was going to tell the same story as what Clay and Sean had told. We have uncovered a number of inconsistencies with how the story was told. That's all.
Is Richard Tillman a Navy officer?
I don't know. By his own admission on the internet, on stuff that he has written, he said, you know, that he was ex-Navy. Clay and Sean have maintained that he has been active all along. Mike Sala wrote on his article that he was Navy Reserve. So we have requested...
Yeah, but you are aware of the fact that an officer's commission is for life unless he resigns it or gets court-martialed, right?
I'm not familiar with exact military terms. I have no military background myself. And
if someone is appointed, is given a commission as an officer in any branch of our service, they don't lose that when they leave active duty. They still have that commission. Now, they may have retired after their name. For instance, it may say Colonel Retired. Or like Bob Dean, Command Sergeant Major, and this is not even a... this is not a commissioned office officer. This is a non-commissioned officer, but Command Sergeant Major Bob Dean, U.S. Army, retired. But the rank and the commission are forever unless they resign or unless they are court-martialed and it's taken away from them.
I don't dispute that. I guess I'm disputing what active means. Does active mean retired or reserve? So I guess the person that could answer that question would be Clay and Sean. But they've disappeared for the last 10 days. They haven't posted. So I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just going by how Clay and Sean defined it as active.
Well... when I was in Bosnia, I was medevaced over to a MASH unit on the east side of Bosnia for emergency surgery. And this surgery was done by a guy who in private practice is a plastic surgeon in Connecticut, and he's a captain in the U.S. Army Reserve. But there he was, activated, and serving in Bosnia. That kind of thing happens all the time.
I would agree that the nature of reserve, certainly with, you know, the conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan, that, you know, I see it on the news all the time that reservists are called up.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the way that Clay and Sean have portrayed it, that he has been active duty for 40 years. I don't know if that's a legitimate claim or not. In light of some of the other inconsistencies, you know, I'd like somebody to go on the record about that.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the inconsistencies.
He says that he's ex-military.
Well, yeah. You know, I have Walter Bosley on the show, and Walter Bosley is ex-U.S. Air Force OSI special agent. But he is in the reserve, so he can legitimately say he is an ex-U.S. Air Force OSI special agent, or he can legitimately say that he is in the Air Force Reserve, because both of those are true.
I think that that's a fair point.
All right, let's you and your team. Let's who's on your team?
Brian Duby. He runs a website along with Steve Broadbent called Reality Uncovered. And the other major member would be John Hicks, who goes by the screen name of Jetty High.
Okay, so we have Ryan Duby, Stephen Broadbent, and what was Hicks's first name?
John.
John Hicks. Okay, and you, okay, and up until recently, Bryce was part of the team as well.
He was.
Okay. So that gives us five people, now four. You guys came to the conclusion, as I understand it, that the Pickering story is a hoax. And I just want to make sure that I understand that right before we proceed. I want to understand where we're coming from. So is it your view that the story that the Pickerings have told about this meeting at the UN, that all this is a hoax?
Certain aspects of the story don't turn out to be true as portrayed by the Pickerings.
Okay, fair enough. I just want to make sure.
Word that you could use, prank, there's plenty of different words to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
Hoax, you know, there would need to be, you know, proof beyond a shadow of a doubt of somebody admitting a hoax. That hasn't happened to date.
Okay, as I said, I just wanted to make sure that I understand where you're coming from. When Bryce was on, according to him, was his view that it is a hoax. So I wanted to make sure
that is a word that could be used, and I would tend to agree that the story as relayed, it doesn't, you know, there are inconsistencies with the story, which leads me to believe that there have been, you know, falsehoods being told, and you know, if it's false, you know, you could fairly use the word hoax.
Okay. All right. Now, so that you understand where I'm coming from, I don't promote or defend any guest's story or information that they put out here on the show. And so in asking questions, I'm merely asking the questions that I think reasonably the audience would have. And in some cases that the audience has emailed me, and so I, in some cases, know that this is on the minds of some of our audience. Okay.
I expect you to ask me tough questions, and I'm ready for them.
Okay. Let's go with specifically, what parts of the story, as put out by Clay and Sean Pickering, have you found to be inaccurate?
Well, the first major one, where major warning lights were going off for me, was the special operations manual that Clay and Sean released. There's a whole backstory to it. The backstory basically is that Source A, Richard, got this from a safe at Area 51, whereas the commanding officer left the room, left the safe open and indicated to Richard that it was okay to look through the safe. Richard looked through the safe, took a copy that looked used, made a photocopy of it, put the document back in the safe, and walked out of Area 51 with a copy of a special operations manual, which is basically a, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but it's about crashed saucer retrieval.
Yeah.
Clay and Sean presented this to Open Minds Forum as proof that their source was legitimate. And it was analyzed, and it was determined to be a copy from a book by Linda Moulton Howe.
So, now, wait. How do you know it's a copy from her book? Her book may be a copy from that manual.
One of the administrators there researched it and found a similar noise pattern in the copy that matches up exactly.
But isn't it possible that what she's quoting in her book may be from the same source information that was given to the Pickerings?
Well, it obviously is the same. However, the story was that this was a independent SOM, Special Operations Manual, independent from any other source. And that was the proof that source A, Richard, was legitimate and telling the truth.
But you see, that doesn't track. Because obviously if it's a manual, there's not just one copy of it. If it's a manual, there would be several copies of it, maybe even like 100 copies, but certainly there would be several copies for the various command structures.
He didn't take the original. He made a copy of it.
I understand that. Where did Linda get her information?
I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
Well, my point is, she could have been quoting from a manual that she was shown, which happens to be identical to the manual that they were shown, because there would be several copies of such a manual.
The copy is exactly the same. And what I mean by noise pattern, it's...
Okay, think about it, and when we come back from break, we'll let you pick up right there. Don't go away, folks. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking this evening to Andrew Murray, and we're talking about the investigation that he headed into the Pickerings story, Clay and Sean Pickering. And this story, by the way, for those who may be new to all of this, and we have new folks every night, new to the show and also new to the information. Clay and Sean Pickering are brothers, and in February 2008, they put out a story on the internet about a meeting that occurred, according to them, at the United Nations building, and this was a briefing of representatives from about 30, maybe 40 nations. And this briefing had to do with extraterrestrial reality. And that's it in a nutshell. Now, when we went away for break, we were dealing with this thing about the copies. So I want to hear why there's any... so far, I don't understand why, if Linda has a copy and they have a copy, why that's an issue.
Well, I don't get bogged down on the... SOM too much because...
Well, I do. I do. That's an issue.
Clay and
No, listen. That's an issue you brought up, and you have to clarify it.
Right. Well, the Plain Shorn represented it as independent of any other copy. And the noise pattern in the copy exactly matches up with Linda Moulton Howe's copy in her book. I don't know how else to explain it other than it is...
Well, what do you mean by noise pattern?
Sometimes when you make copies, there's dots on the actual copy. Sometimes there's more dots than others. And these dots match up exactly. I am not the one that did that analysis.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not disputed by anyone that it is, in fact, a copy from Linda's book.
But I am disputing that you can say that because the noise pattern matches up, that it is a copy from her book. And here's why. She got her copy from somewhere. If they got their copy from the same copy, or if the copy that they have came from one that was copied from the copy. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I hand you a piece of paper, it's got a message on it, and we put it on a Xerox machine, then I make 10 copies of it. And then Linda Moulton Howe is shown one of them, and she makes a copy of it. These guys are shown either that same copy, or they are shown another one that was in that same generation of copies. It'll have the same dot patterns, and they make a copy of it.
You could be right, and I can't say that you're wrong. Maybe they were made on the same copy machine. I have no way to know that. All I'm going by is that I took that research to be valid that was done on Open Minds Forum.
The research can be valid and the conclusion not be correct. I'm not defending, I haven't even seen their SOM. I'm not defending it, but thinking like a cop and dealing with...
Open Minds website with the whole analysis, which, you know, is pretty clear.
No. We can't do this. You're leaning on evidence as if that proves the conclusion, and I'm saying that the evidence can be correct, the research can be correct, but the conclusion drawn not correct. Because if I'm approaching this, handling it as an investigator, as a cop, I would raise an eyebrow. I would say, now that's curious. But to be able to say that their copy was copied from Linda Moulton Howe simply because the noise pattern is the same doesn't track necessarily. It could be that their copy was copied from either the same one that hers was copied from, or it could be that theirs was copied from the same generation of copies. That, you know, maybe there were 5 copies of this manual made. And so they were all made at the same time. They all have the same noise.
Richard said he made the copy himself in the commanding officer's office.
And he made a copy of what?
Of a manual from a safe. He took the manual.
And the noise may be in that manual.
You could be right.
You see, that's what I'm saying, that we can't jump to conclusions other than the noise pattern is the same.
However, I mean, that is a piece of the puzzle.
All right, let's move to the next piece.
That was the first thing that I thought was, you know, a glaring inconsistency.
But I don't. As a professional investigator who's never lost a case, I find it interesting. But I don't find it a glaring inconsistency at all.
I invite people to look at the research on Open Minds Forum, and they can draw their own conclusions.
Of course they can, but we're not here to promote Open Minds Forum. We're here to promote the investigation you did.
Okay, well,
I say we're here to promote it, that's not it. We're here to discuss the investigation that you did.
I didn't do any investigation of the SOM. what I said was, you asked me what the first clue that something was wrong, and that was it.
Okay, and what I'm saying is that it's interesting, but beyond interesting, it's not a glaring inconsistency.
Maybe it isn't to you, but...
Well, it's simply not, period. It's simply not, because you don't know what copies Linda Moulton Howe used. You don't know if it's the same copy that Richard Tillman used, and you don't know what the noise pattern is in that one.
I know that Clay and Sean claimed it to be totally independent of any other one.
Okay.
That was their claim, not mine.
We're going to move on, but... You're completely missing the issue. If there is an original somewhere, and since these copies exist, we know an original exists. We don't know how many copies were made of that original all in one generation of copies, all at one time. Maybe there were 10 copies of this thing made and sent to various commanding officers. All of them will have the exact noise pattern that is in the original.
I understand exactly what.
And if you copy any one of those copies, you will get that same noise pattern.
I understand what you're saying.
Okay. So until you can nail down how many, you know, where's the original? How many were they? Where did Linda get hers? This is interesting information. It doesn't rise to the level of evidence.
Right. Well, I didn't say that it was evidence. You asked me what the...
No, you said it was a glaring inconsistency.
To me, it was.
Okay. Well, let's move on. What else did you find?
Well, certain stories that Clay and Sean would tell just seemed out of place to me.
Okay.
Is it evidence? No. I've been in sales, though, for, you know, almost 30 years, and people lie to me every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, look, I don't blame them for it. That's, you know, what they've been programmed to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Clay and Sean sure seem to be selling the story. They told the story about reptilians, and I don't want to go into the, you know, the particular details. But there was a lot of pushback on the forum where this was taking place about reptilians, you know, being good or evil, and there was a lot of thought that Richard, Source A, should not be thinking so highly of reptilians. So they, Clay and Sean, told a story that was relayed to them from Source A about. Hurricane Katrina and how he went down there in the aftermath and was arresting rapists at the Superdome. And during the time of Katrina, it was widely reported in the media that there were gangs and thugs and you know, rapes occurring, and the media, you know, sensationalized it. And I just happened to know from my own personal researching, that the media retracted a lot of that stuff, you know, 3 weeks later, a month later. Of course, it didn't make the headlines, but I knew that that was sensationalized at the time. Anyway, Clay or Sean told the story about how Source A went down to the Superdome and was... arresting rapists, et cetera, and treating victims. And this was basically a, you know, a sales job to sell the people in the forum on what a great guy he was. And look, maybe he is a great guy, but I know that the facts are that no one was arrested for rape or charged with attempted rape or anything like that at the Superdome during the time of Katrina.
Okay, that's fair enough.
So
you're exactly right about that. Nobody, absolutely nobody, as far as law enforcement knows, was raped at the Superdome or killed.
I think somebody died, but it was from natural causes.
Yeah, one person.
I think that's the case. I don't have that research in front of me. I did that a while ago. But the I have the links. I posted the links. Anyway, more inconsistencies in stories came about, and I didn't believe the story, and I asked a lot of questions, and it was quite obvious to me that, you know, Clay, Sean, I mean, they were annoyed by my questions, and it didn't add up to me. So eventually, it got to the point where, you know, I was membership revoked at Open Minds Forum.
Okay, so you were banned from Open Minds Forum.
That's correct.
And specifically, why? What reason did they give you?
I was not respectful enough. I believe was the term that was used, and I think I was, you know, fair and respectful. And look, I can understand that, you know, there's a difference of opinion as far as that goes. They can, you know, they can set their own rules. They don't want me there. That's fine.
Did you use any personal insults? I mean, yeah, like, did you say you guys are lying or something like that?
I don't think so. But it's conceivable that I said that I didn't think the story was true.
Okay, well, we just got caught by a break. So we will step away for a couple of minutes here, folks, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Andrew Murray. And the phone lines are already lighting up. Let me say, folks, we won't open the phones until later. And so hitting redial isn't going to get you in any sooner. And it won't work at all till I turn the line on, okay? I can see the lights, but it's not getting through to the board because I don't have it turned on yet. Okay, now, Andrew, one thing I want to underscore, though, about the SOM, and then we'll go back to where we were. My comments about the SOM do not defend the Pickering's copy. And I don't want you to take it that way, and I don't want anybody listening to take it that way. I think what the evidence of the noise in the copy, I think what that is evidence. It's a fingerprint, but I think it doesn't lead to the conclusion yet that was drawn. And
I'm not disputing that. I didn't do the research on that. I just went by what everybody else. I mean, there wasn't really any dissent that the research that it was an exact copy from Linda's book was ever disputed, although I could be wrong.
All I'm saying is that if this were a criminal case and I, as a cop, were investigating it, I would find that interesting, maybe even a little bit suspicious. And it's something I would check into a lot deeper and a lot further. But in order to get to the answer, we have to know, where did Linda get her copy, and is it from the same generation of copies of that manual that the Pickerings got a copy? And then you can start putting together whether or not they actually copied hers.
Right. I
you see what I'm saying?
On that, and you know, I can't answer that question. I just took it for granted what everybody else was the conclusion. Like I said, I did not do the research on that particular area of expertise.
Okay. Now we were talking about you getting booted out of Open Lines, Open Minds Forum, and then after that you and your group of people continued to do some investigation into the story. What are the key points besides the SOM? The SOM is the name of a manual for how to do crash retrievals, et cetera.
Right, special operations manual.
Okay. All right, so apart from that, what else, and the Katrina thing, and you make a good point there. The whole thing about people being raped and killed in the Superdome was manufactured. And I'm not sure it was manufactured by the media. It was manufactured by some activists who basically were out to...
The mayor said that.
Mm-hmm.
They were repeating what they had heard. I would agree. The media reported it, and I think they reported it without fact-checking.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I always like to do is that when someone, you know, makes a statement, I like to try to fact check it. And really, the statements that Clay and Sean made, it was hard to fact check. They didn't give us anything really that was able to be fact checked. The Katrina story was one of them, and it jumped out at me, you know, because it was something I was very familiar with.
Okay, what else jumped out at you?
Well, really the next biggest thing that jumped out that I can point my finger to and say, aha, with any kind of certainty is when Clay posted a picture that he was at a luncheon with Admiral Roughhead, the chief naval officer of the United States Navy, member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He was at a luncheon in New York, sponsored by the Navy League and the Naval Order at the New York Athletic Club. He posted a picture with him and Admiral Roughhead in the background. And he made some statements that upon fact-checking, didn't really add up to the story that he had told. It was, at the very least, embellished. And, well, let's just leave it at that.
No, we can't leave it at that, because if that is an issue in your investigation, then we need to know why that's an issue.
Well, Clay made some statements that upon fact-checking were not factual. It was a public luncheon. He had said that there were UN and State Department people there, ex-military, which I'll concede that most likely if you're going to a Navy League luncheon and a Naval Order luncheon with the CNO there, Admiral Roughhead, there's probably going to be ex-military there, probably even active military. But it was the first thing that we could really fact-check in a long time. It was a public luncheon, and my partner, John, was in contact with Rick Kenny and another person that had attended the luncheon and wrote a article on it on defensetech.com. And some of the claims made by Clay were disputed by Rick Kenny and the other guy whose name escapes me at the moment.
Okay, what were those claims?
It made it clear where he was sitting. And I went to the Navy League website, and noticed that they had a large picture gallery. Now, the pictures for this particular luncheon were not up yet, but about 2 weeks later, they were up. And I analyzed every picture and saw who Clay was sitting near, and came to the conclusion that source A must be one of these four people that were sitting very close to Clay, at least in the vicinity of where the picture was taken that was posted at Open Minds Forum, that had Clay and the Admiral in the picture. So we had known that a number of UFO researchers had met with A based on claims made by Clay and Sean, and I, in fact, had at one time fact-checked that with Dr. Bruce Maccabee, and he did confirm that he had met with Source A at his office on a military base. So we sent the picture. One of my other colleagues, Ryan Dubé, another member of the team, sent the pictures to Bruce Maccabee, and he identified the person in the picture as Source A. Now, Bruce did not give us a name, but he said, yes, this is the guy. So once we knew we had a face, we started to study everything that we could about the gentleman in the picture that Bruce identified as Source A. My other partner, John, noticed that he was wearing a Naval Order pin. And he made me aware of that. And I thought, well, gee, I wonder if the Naval Order has a website. And in fact, they do, with a New York chapter. They had a photo gallery. And I started looking through that photo gallery. And lo and behold, Source A is in one of the pictures wearing a name tag, Richard Thielman. So once we had a name to go with the face, we were able to do more fact-checking on Richard Thielman. Any questions?
Yeah, I do. And we will be back right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back, and we're talking this evening to Andrew Murray. Andrew, let me give you a sum of what I understand, correct where I'm wrong.
Okay.
There are elements that appeared over time in the Pickering's story. And when we say appeared over time, this was in posts that they were making, primarily in posts that they were making to Open Minds Forum.
Correct.
There were elements in their story that seemed not credible. And upon checking with some of those, particularly the statement about Source A having been in New Orleans helping arrest rapist in the Superdome, that particularly didn't check out. And then there was this picture that Clay posted of him at a luncheon, and this is a Navy League luncheon. Now, what was there about you said there were certain elements of this that didn't that were not accurate. So what was it about the luncheon story or the picture or both that drew your attention?
what drew my attention was my partner John highlighted inconsistencies in the story about the lunch that the Pickerings had told.
Which were what? That's what I'm asking. What are the inconsistencies?
That there were State Department members there. Rick Kenney said no State Department was there. Clay made it sound very mysterious. I mean, it sounded like a sales job. Being in sales.
Yeah, you kind of have a nose for that.
Yeah, I mean, I know when I'm being sold. And, look, their story is a fantastic story. It would have been the biggest story ever in the history of UFOlogy. I mean, this is a guy that claimed to be interfacing with a rock-like, silicon-based alien. It's a fantastic story. And, look, originally when I came across it, I was very excited. Just that nothing could be fact-checked. Look, we tried fact-checking the UN story originally feverishly. We all worked together as a team. We were all researching, you know, and really we came up cold. There isn't a whole lot of the story that can be fact-checked. I mean, you can't fact-check, you know, the fact that a guy met with aliens if, you know, there's no real details to fact-check. So whenever the opportunity arose that there was a public event that could be fact-checked, I mean, we fact-checked it hard. And it didn't add up to the story what Clay told to the reality of what the fact-checking, you know, showed. So, but once we had the name of Thielman, we were able to fact-check more. And certain things didn't add up over time. For instance, at the time where Richard was supposedly interfacing with the aliens, he was having a surgical procedure, which Richard blogged about on the internet and was actually written in his church bulletin, you know, where he's a member, whereas the parishioners were asked to pray for him, and it even mentioned the name of the particular hospital where he was at, and then that he was resting at home. This was at the time where he was supposedly meeting with the alien.
Okay, so Richard openly blogged about where he was and what he was doing, right?
Yes, he also mm-hmm. blogged that he had no health insurance, and even though that he was separated from his wife, that he needed to maintain the coverage with her so he could have this procedure.
How does that relate to this story?
I'm sorry?
How does that relate to the story?
Well, it relates to the story as, you know, if he was active military, it should have been covered, shouldn't it?
Well, maybe not.
I know. Well, I mean,
maybe he's not active military. Maybe he's reserved.
That I think needs to be fact-checked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the investigation certainly is ongoing. I mean, it would be a lot easier if Clay and Sean would come forward and make a statement, or if Richard would, you know, go on the record. But it doesn't appear to be happening.
If you put yourself in their shoes, I ask Bryce this, put yourself in their shoes with all that's been published and said now, would you see any plus for you personally to step forward and give any answers?
Yeah, I definitely would, because I'd want a chance to tell the story in my own name, and I'd want a chance to come clean on the record in my own name. I myself am not a perfect person. I've made plenty of mistakes over the years. However, I will own up to it if I've made a mistake. And believe me, I make mistakes every day. I'm not always right. You know, I don't know what to say, but if this was me or Richard, I mean, if I was Richard or Clay and Sean, yeah, I would definitely want to come forward and tell the truth. Consequences, you know, I would accept the consequence. That's how we grow and we move forward. Now, I mean, look, maybe it's too embarrassing for them. I really don't know. I don't want to speak for them.
Maybe their position is, maybe their position is that they told the truth and that anything they say now after all of this stuff has been published, people have already made up their minds. It will sound like I'm just trying to protect myself, so I'm not going to say anything else. I've already said what I'm going to say.
That's certainly their right.
Yeah. Do you...
What else do you want to know?
Oh, I've got a long list of things, but we don't have a whole lot more time because I need to open up the telephone lines for our audience. Have you come up with anything at all that says that any evidence that says that this meeting at the UN didn't happen?
No.
So that part of the story could be true.
Sure could. I'd love to be able to prove that the meeting happened. I'm a UFO believer. I had my own sighting, you know, back when I was 10, 1973. I don't want to go into all the details, but it was broad daylight, maybe 100 yards, 30 feet off the ground, bright silver metallic. You know, it was there for 5 seconds, and then it was gone. I can't explain it. You know, it was like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, I'm a believer in the phenomena, and I go about this going in. I'm trying to prove that it is true. I'm not trying to prove that it's false. But the evidence has led me, in my opinion, that this particular tale, what was told after the initial release of the UN meetings, what I have been able to fact check, leads to me to believe that those aspects of the story are false. But, I mean, I think it's likely at some point at the United Nations that the UFO phenomena has been discussed. Was it in February? It could very well, February 2008, it could have been. I just don't know. I haven't been able to fact check it. And I'd like to, before I put my opinion out there that, yes, it definitely took place, I'd like, you know, to have some kind of supporting documentation or credible witnesses.
I think that's fair enough. Well, I think that your group has raised some very, very interesting questions. I tend to agree with you that it was published prematurely. And I think you saw that point when we were talking about the SOM. Very interesting questions and room for lots more investigation, but too soon to, in my opinion, too soon to draw conclusions yet. Obviously, every investigator has opinions about where the evidence is pointing in every case.
I agree with you, and I would love to be able to find something, some fact in this story that is true. But I haven't been able to find one piece of evidence that supports anything that Richard or Clay and Sean have said. And look, maybe Clay and Sean were duped. I really don't know. I mean, it seems incredible to me that UFO researchers didn't do any of this fact-checking that we were...
Oh, well, listen. Fact-checking in the UFO community is almost a lost art. So don't be surprised.
We don't have much credibility with the general public to begin with. And if we are going to establish any credibility at all, then we better have some facts.
All right, we're going to open up the telephone lines. Okay. And now, folks, here's the deal. I want you to listen, because this is a very controversial topic. The rules apply tonight that apply every night. You can ask anything you want to ask, so long as you don't praise or insult. No personal stuff, okay? No praises, no insults. But you can ask anything you want to ask. All right? Fair enough? We're going to open the telephone lines, and the telephone number should be appearing on your screen for those who are watching on our TV channel. For those who are listening by radio, it is 623-444-5889. That's the main number. Or you can call the toll-free number if you're in the USA or Canada. If you're in the USA or Canada, the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, I don't know what happened. Caller, I pushed the button to bring you on the air, and it cut you off. I am sorry about that. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
How you doing, Kevin? This is Sam from Lake Havasu City.
Hello, Sam.
Andrew, very interesting stuff. Just a question. Now, you mentioned the fact about the photograph that kind of stuck in my mind. You know, I, too, have been trying to draw some parallels with the Pickering brothers because, as the story is fascinating, you guys, you know the great point is that with the research in ufology, it is a lost art, and it's so hard to draw parallels. It's so hard to pinpoint the facts, and I drive myself crazy doing it. But about the photo, say again what you were talking about as far as the state heads and the people involved in the photo.
I'm sorry, what's the question?
The photograph that you had trouble with, the Pickering said that there were some state heads or State Department heads in that photograph.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't been able to identify any State Department people in the photo. Is it possible that there were people there from the State Department? I guess it's possible, and that Rick Kinney could be mistaken, but he is the president of the Navy League, or the chairman. I forget exactly what, but I mean, I would think that he would know that if there were State Department people there or not. I mean, I do know that Admiral Ruffhead was there, CNO. He is a very important person, and you know, he does give speeches all the time. As a matter of fact, on that particular day, he gave three speeches in three different locations. Certainly, the Admiral's staff was there, and I'm sure there was ex-military. As far as State Department people, I've not been able to verify that any were there.
Did they give names of all the people sitting there, or was it just kind of you had to figure that out?
No, there were no name tags at this particular event, as near as I can tell. And it's hard to identify people just from a picture unless they're famous. And without Bruce McAbee's help, we would have never been able to put a face to Source A, Richard. And then seeing his picture at another site with a name tag on, I mean, look, we got lucky. No question about it. It's not really the method of operation that I would expect a super secret alien ambassador to you know, too employed to, you know, have his picture posted with a name tag somewhere. You know, but I guess anything is possible.
Okay, Sam, thank you for the call. Good questions. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. And the toll-free number in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Now, if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for you. But you can call the main number or you can use the flash message option on my website. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hello, Ryan.
Yeah, I was a member of the Open Minds Forum one time, and I went into the section, you know, where it talks about the drones, the carrot drones that were turned out to be a viral marketing campaign. And all I did was simply ask a question, are there any witnesses? And next thing I knew, they banned me without cause. I didn't break any rules or anything. They just banned me. Now I can't go back onto that site. So I have an issue with that website. I think that they're...
Okay, well, I understand, but, I mean, you know, they have a right to whatever their rules are, whether you agree with them or whether I agree with them. They have a right to whatever their rules are.
You know, I was there for... That's what first attracted me to Open Minds Forum, was the drone saga, so to speak. And I got to say, I was... it was very exciting for me because I was new to the world of UFO chat rooms, and wow, the drone study saga was fascinating. And I mean, that's really where I cut my research. But there's no question that whole it got very contentious, and people were banned. I was banned once myself during that episode. And they were gracious enough to allow me to return to be banned again.
That I wanted to comment about was that one of the posters over there who runs a column over there, and I won't mention his name, had mentioned in his book and other places that it could be possible that a lot of internet columnists are be using for disinformation targets and counterintelligence. I wanted to float that idea out there for you guys to consider, and, because, you know, if you look around at some of these stories are so poorly written that, you know, I just wonder if these people that are feeding these stories, disinformation stories, realize that millions of people are onto them and know what they're doing, because their stories are so poorly written that they're just absolutely... Now, on to source A, I'll let the next caller come in. What are some other holes in this story that you have uncovered? And I just, you know, want to let that, I'll let the next caller call me.
Okay, thanks for the call.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to say that these internet stories, the drone story, Serpo, this UN story, I mean, they're sensational and they draw a lot of interest into the field of ufology, and it is a great question, what is the purpose of these viral memes that occur on the internet? Is it disinformation? Is it meant to gear people to a particular site or a particular way of thinking? Is it just, you know, are they so silly just to debunk all of ufology?
Well, it's called
operations. I mean, who knows?
It's called perception management. But then you don't know what the goal of the perception is. But it's perception management is what they're doing. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. Hi, Andrew. My name is Ralph. I'm calling from Germany.
Hello, Ralph.
hi, Kevin. Well, apart from all the details we are discussing tonight, I'd like to know something from Andrew regarding the permission he talked about very early in this show. the permission to Bryce of going public with the information Andrew's group of five had. I mean, it sounds to me like he isn't really a defender of free speech, you know. No.
Andrew, okay. What do you say about that, Andrew?
Well, I mean, I am in favor of free speech 100%. My concern with that particular part of the story is, you know, is kind of ethical, that the, you know, we weren't, we didn't have an agreement to release that. I don't think it really served any purpose to release it. You know, but I mean, certainly free speech.
Are you referring specifically to the recorded telephone conversation?
Who, me?
Yeah. What is it that you had reservations about releasing and that you thought would be not ethical? Okay, we just had a break takeover, so we're going to have to step away for a break. Ralph, you want to hold on through the break?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest, Andrew Murray, and we have on the line with us also Ralph from Germany. Are you still with me, Ralph?
Yes, I am.
Okay. The question I had asked Andrew is, you were saying that you're for free speech, but you weren't really comfortable with releasing this certain information. You had ethical concerns about it.
For a number of reasons. Number one, we weren't ready. Number two, we didn't have permission.
From whom?
From Richard.
To release the information about the investigation?
He said that the phone call was on the record. We never asked him to go on the record.
Okay, that's what I wanted to clarify. It's the telephone call.
I'm sorry?
Well, what I'd like to know, if you say we weren't ready, it does mean that four or five didn't seem to be ready. So, Bryce,
four out of five were not ready, correct?
Yeah, right. But if one has the feeling he has to go public, what's the problem?
He did what he thought was right. And, I mean, that's his decision. I mean, look, what's done
is
done, and not really too much I can do about it.
Okay. A second remark, just a short remark, Andrew. You talked about being a believer in UFOs. I'm absolutely sure that Kevin will agree with what I'm going to say now. There's no reason to believe. They exist or they don't exist, and they exist. That's what
I agree. Poor choice of words on my part. I mean, I've seen it.
Well, I did. Okay, that's the difference.
Okay, Ralph, thank you for the call, and thanks for...
You're welcome.
Oh, what time is it in Germany right now?
It's 5:30.
Half past 12?
No, 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, past 5. In the morning. Wow, you're up early to listen to the show.
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks for the call. Very, very, very interesting. Okay, we are going to get to a flash message now from Leonardo in Puerto Rico. Hi, Kevin. Good show as always. Your guest may not be a lawyer, but he does make a point. It's like we say in The Force, and Leonardo, Andrew Leonardo is a former police officer in Puerto Rico.
Okay.
So he says, it's like we say in The Force, it's easier to catch a liar than a thief. Okay, so that's his comment. And Ross in the United Kingdom says, this all sounds like a classic internet forum spat to me. My gut instinct says there's a lot of jealousy, exaggeration, nitpicking, personality clashes on both sides of the fence here. Did the UN meetings happen? Did the Navy luncheon happen? As reported, who really knows? The waters are certainly now more muddied. This all would be quite funny if the main subject at large wasn't so important. Okay, Ross, thank you. But, Ross, in defense, it's never wrong to ask questions.
Well, I mean, I like to ask questions. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is one thing that Clay said about the meeting, that no note-taking was allowed. But clearly in the photographs on the Naval League website, there are four or five people taking notes. I mean, is that a big deal? No, but when Clay made such a, you know, a huge issue four or five times saying that absolutely no note-taking, you know, was allowed, you know, I mean, that just seems odd when there's photographic evidence, you know, to the contrary.
That is odd. If it's a public meeting, and this was a public meeting, Clay and Sean both said on the show here that it was public. So if it's a public meeting, I don't know how you could say no note-taking. If it's public, you know there are going to be people that take notes, especially reporters who happen to be there. Or, you know, even if they're not like reporters for mainstream media, but maybe they write a column for some newsletter with their agency, you know, so they're reporters in that respect. You know they're going to take notes.
I just think, you know, in that particular respect, I mean, there's a saying in the sales business, going beyond the close. And Clay just went way beyond the close. He didn't need to do that. And it just, when stuff like that happens, it just, it catches my attention, and I'm sure it caught other people's attention too.
Is it possible that he was told not to take notes?
It's very possible. I mean, I mean, they seem like nice guys. I mean, I don't agree with all their theories. I certainly don't agree with this particular story. I think it's very possible they could have been duped. But it just seems a little unbelievable, knowing what I know after doing just, you know, a little bit of fact checking on Richard, that things don't add up to the story the way that it was told. So I'll just leave it there.
I was just trying, while you were speaking, I was trying to remember meetings that I've been to. And, you know, I can remember a meeting that I went to where everyone there was military except me. I was international police, and I was not allowed to take notes. And yet others all over the meeting were taking notes. Now, the reason for that, and this may not fit, other than I was in such a meeting, the reason for that is that when the meeting was over, I was going to be leaving the base. We were in a foreign country.
Right.
And I didn't live on the base. I lived out in the community. And so no notes of the meeting were allowed to leave the base. So I could not take notes. So that doesn't exactly parallel this, but I mean, I was in a situation where everyone else could take notes, but I couldn't. And so maybe, I don't know.
I mean, the other thing that that struck me odd about the meeting is that Clay said that he had to be vetted to get in by four different people, and he made it sound like, you know, that it was a big deal to get into this meeting. And, I mean, maybe it was at the last minute. I mean, maybe they had to do a security background check you know, at that particular event. And I guess that that, you know, could be possible. But looking around the room at, you know, the other people that were in the photos, it just seems unlikely that that there was really any kind of huge security protocols in effect. It just, like I said, it seemed like going beyond the clothes to sell a story, and it didn't really need to be sold. And I'm perplexed on why it had to be sold this way. At least that's just the way it seems to me, in my opinion.
Well, obviously I can't answer for them, and I wouldn't attempt to if I knew the answer. I obviously can't answer that. When the Pickerings were here on the show, it was right before all of this investigation broke out on the internet.
Well, you know what? I listened to the show that night, and we already knew at that point that I mean, we had already cracked the case, so to speak. We knew who Richard was, and so I definitely listened to that show.
Well, you know, they seem to be anticipating that something was about to break, and you know, in terms of the news getting out there, I'm just giving my impression.
Sure.
It's just my opinion, but they seem to be a bit anticipatory of something coming. And, you know, I think that on the one hand, if I were them, I believe in the right to remain silent. On the other hand, it might actually do them some good and help their case, if you will, if some explanations could be forthcoming. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889 and 888-223-4599. If you are outside of the USA or you're outside of Canada, the main number will work. As you heard, Ralph from Germany called. And every once in a while we get calls from the UK. We've had calls from Australia, from Taiwan, from South Africa, where else? Lots of places. But you can call us, or if you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, you can choose, if you wish, to use our flash message option at kevinsmithshow.com. Now, one of the things that Ross said, is that his name? Let me check. Ross in the UK, is that the waters are certainly more muddied now, and that's true. There's no doubt about it. The waters are much muddier now than they were. However, and I say this in defense of your group, asking questions is what freedom is about. And there's never anything wrong with asking questions. There can be something wrong with how we ask them. You know, like, I'm sure, since you're in sales, you've probably heard this, the old question, have you stopped beating your wife yet?
Yeah.
You know, it's a trap. So there's something wrong with that. But there's never anything wrong with asking questions for clarification and for information. And if the waters are dirtied, if they're muddied after those questions are asked, now listen carefully to what I'm saying, folks. If a question is asked for someone to clarify something, to provide additional information on something, and the waters get muddied as a result of that question, it's the person that was asked who muddies the waters. It's not the one who asked the question. because if clarification is given, the water is clear. You see? All right, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hi. My name is Ryan.
Hello, Ryan. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maine.
Okay, Ryan. What's on your mind this evening?
Hey, Andy. How's it going?
Fantastic.
Quick question for you. As you
sure.
know, on the blog, Mike Sala was called...
Okay. Hey, Ryan, you have to hang on. A break just took over. You want to hang on through the break?
Absolutely.
All right. Hang on. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Andrew Murray, and on the line with us is Ryan from Maine. Okay, Ryan, you'll have to make it quick because we're coming up towards the end of the show, but go ahead with your question. And the reason I say make it quick is so Andrew will have a chance to respond.
Yeah, sure, no problem. It's a short question. One of the things I noticed when the expose was published was there were probably almost 100 comments, you know, in the end of the article, and one of the most adamant commenters against the expose was Mike Sala, and as I understand, he was a big player throughout this too. And I'm just wondering if Andy could comment on Sala's part in the whole thing and what he thinks about why Sala was so against this report once it got out.
Sure, I'd love to. Look, Mike Sala is the one who wrote the original article about the UN meetings based on his source, Sean and Clay Pickering. And Sala has definitely been one of the biggest supporters of the UN meetings and of Clay and Sean's testimony and Source A. He's met Source A, he's vouched for him over and over again. The problem is that Sala is head of this exo-politician institute, and he benefits from these kinds of stories. They drive people to his website. He becomes a sort of an insider. You know, he's very big for disclosure, and that's a political movement, and I can understand where he's coming from. But he doesn't do any fact-checking, as near as I can tell, and he is trying to spin the story to his particular way. Now, you know, he also wrote an article that that Source A was going to lie when he spoke to us on the phone. And Richard actually used that, if you've listened to the phone call. He's used that as a defense that since Michael Sala wrote the article, he can't say anything because nobody's going to believe him anyway.
Well, and look, in fairness, since the Sala article said that his plan was to lie to you, then it does paint him into a corner because he could say the sky is blue and people would assume he's lying to you.
I would agree with that statement. But I think it was in Michael Sala's best interest to put that story out there. And really, from the gist of the phone call, it didn't sound like Richard was too happy about it. And really, it took away Richard's freedom of speech, so to speak, for Michael to write that article. And Michael's been questioned about it, and he agrees that he broke, you know, journalistic professional ethics to write that story, which, I mean, look, he had to do what he thought was right, but I think that people from these anonymous sources and these stories of secret meetings they benefit exo-politicians' push for disclosure, and I really believe that exo-politicians are doing a huge disservice to ufology to push these stories based on no proof for a political end. And it takes away from the serious study of the phenomena when these kinds of stories are given so much attention that it almost drowns out events like Stevensville. And if you'll note that this story broke right after Stevensville.
So what do you think? Do you think it was put up there as a diversion for Stevensville?
You know what? There's a lot of speculation. And, you know, I'm not one to speculate too much. I would prefer to go with facts. But if you're asking me for my opinion, you know, I don't really know about that. But what I do know is that definitely this story was put out there by exo-politicians, Michael Sala in particular. And he vouched for it. And, you know, he doesn't look too good, you know, right now, spinning the stories that he's spinning, that it was all an intelligence operation, and there's no way to verify it. I mean, you can try, you can have all these theories, but look, in the end, it's facts that count. And unless you can verify it, I mean, I can say anything I want, and I would expect somebody to try to fact-check me to see if I'm being truthful. But some things just can't be, you can't fact-check them. It's like a fail-safe.
Yeah, but again,
put it out there and you can't fact-check it.
In fairness, that's the reality of the intelligence world.
Sure.
And I can give you something right now that's not deep, dark, black ops that you can't fact-check. I can say that I was international police. That you can fact check because you can find photographs of me overseas in uniform performing my duties. Okay? That you can fact check. Now, if I say that I was I was in a UN mission, I worked at UN police headquarters, you can't fact check that. And the reason you can't is because the UN will not have me listed as a UN employee. And yet, in those uniforms, some of them you'll see me with the blue beret on, because I really hated wearing it, but once in a while, for ceremonial purposes, I had to. But the UN won't have me listed as ever having worked for them. I can also tell you that I was with the State Department, and that I was in one mission as a diplomatic observer, and yet the State Department will not have me listed as an employee.
I agree with you, but if I was investigating you, I'd want to fact check some of the statements that you've made to verify whatever story you're telling.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it possible for someone who's not officially with the State Department and not listed in their personnel to have a diplomatic passport and diplomatic status?
Sure. But I would try to fact check what there was to be fact checked about the story being told.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But I'm just pointing out that there are, you know... I did have a diplomatic passport.
I just don't see any evidence of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe it really is, and, you know, there's no evidence to be found. But if ufology is going to be credible and we're going to gain traction with the public at large, we better have something verifiable so that we can be credible.
Well, the only reason that I point out what I was pointing out is by bringing up that it is some type of a intelligence operation, on the one hand, it could be, and you would, because it's intelligence, you would never be able to fact check it. On the other hand, because of that fact, it's easy to say it's an intelligence operation if it's not, because it can't be fact-checked.
Exactly.
So it's damned if you do, damned if you don't.
It's what we call a fail-safe.
It is that. It is that. Well, As I said, I don't think asking questions is wrong. And I don't think when you ask a question, it muddies the water. Those who either answer or don't answer the question are the ones who determine whether the water gets muddy. And, if the answers to the questions clarify, and then people asking the questions say, oh, yeah, now I understand. Well, then the waters are not muddy. Andrew, stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time. I want to thank you for being here this evening. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.